Good morning. Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. Greystone is a place where all are welcome. No matter who you are, no matter what you do professionally or in your spare time, there is a place for you to belong here, and we're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us this morning. If you are our guest, we want to extend a special welcome to you, and I'm going to call on our members or frequent attenders to look around and see if there's a new face or perhaps a face that you recognize but you just haven't seen in a while. Take a moment to pause and just say, hello, I'm glad you're here. We're better when we're together, and we know that God is in this space because two or more have gathered. Today is a special day in the life of the church. Not only are we nearing the end of the season of Eastertide, but we are also celebrating those in our congregation who are graduating from high school. This is an important milestone in their lives, and so the service today has been crafted with them in mind. A little bit later, we'll get to hear from our associate pastor to students, Alan Smith, as he is bringing a good word from God about the reading from Luke. And so we look forward to hearing from him. We also continue our series on the language of faith. We have been spending this season of Eastertide breathing new life, if you will, into some old words that we hear a lot around the church and in our churchy kinds of relationships. So we've talked about doubt and faith, we've talked about discipleship, and today we talk about calling. And so as we prepare ourselves for worship, we take a moment and just pause. And we wait and we ask that the Spirit of God blow into this place and illumine us and share with us a little bit about calling. How is God calling us? What is the next step? How is God calling us into our lives, into our future, and further into our path of discipleship? So with this in mind, let us join our hearts and minds and voices together as we begin worship this day.
right. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Did you remember a few minutes ago what Pastor Chrissy asked us? What question did she ask us this morning? How is God calling us? So this morning we're talking about calling. Now, how do you think God calls people? Does he call them up on the phone and say, Sumner, I want you to go to Sunday school this morning? Has he ever done that? No? Has he ever called you? Did your mom call you in for dinner sometimes? Come to dinner, wash your hands, and get ready. Does God ever call you like that? Does he? Oh, okay. In your head. Okay, that's right. I think sometimes what God does is he gives us ideas about things he would like us to do or become. And then those ideas take fruit. Sometimes we know somebody who has done that same thing, and they talk to us about what it's like. Sometimes he gives us special talents that we use. So Ms. April wanted me to talk to you a little bit about some of the ways that God has called me. And the first thing that I remember when I was little, like your age, I brought a picture so you could see. This is me at Christmas. Can you see what I have? What I got for Christmas? A doll. What else? Can you see what's on my games? Those are games. This is a medical kit. So when I was really little, for Christmas one year, I got a medical kit. And I remember when I was even that little that I knew I was going to become a nurse when I grew up. Now, I didn't know any nurses, and I didn't really even probably know what a nurse does. But over time, I found out more things about it. So when I was little and I got this medical kit, I would make my brother and my sisters be patients, and I would pretend to give them medicine and shots, and they let me do it. So I kind of figured out some of the things that a nurse does. And when I got a little older, I started reading books about nurses. There were a lot of books that talked about what nurses did. And so the idea kept growing, and I kept thinking, this is really something I want to do. And then when I was a teenager, what I did is I became a candy striper. Anybody know what a candy striper is? This is a picture of a candy striper. That's not me, but it's a picture of one. See what they're wearing? Why do you think they got called candy stripers? Yeah, they look like candy canes. Our uniform looked like candy canes. And I got to go into the hospital, and I got to deliver mail to patients and take them flowers and talk to them and take care of them in those ways. And then I thought, this is really what I want to do. I really want to be a nurse. So I became a nurse, and I'm still a nurse today. And I believe that God called me, even when I was a little girl, to be a nurse someday. What are some of the other things that God calls people to? Can you think of some other ways that God calls people to do special jobs or things? How about our ministers here? Do you think God called them to be ministers? Yes. And sometimes God gives us not a job to do, but maybe a talent. So who are some people here who have special talents that God called them to do and share with us? Can you think of some people? Some people sitting behind us? Our choir and our accompanist. And maybe your Sunday school teachers. People that have special talents. Your mom, yep, she's one of our ministers. That have special talents that God has given them. And then he calls them to use those talents to serve. And sometimes God calls us just to do something special, maybe for someone else. Have you ever felt like maybe you should do something nice for a neighbor or send a card to somebody that's sick? That might be you, God calling you to do something like that to make someone feel better. And as I thought about call this week, I thought about all those things, but the other thing I thought about is our mission statement for our church, and part of that says, every member a minister. That means everybody here at Greystone is called by God to be a minister here in whatever way they can do it. Some people help by teaching. Some people help by singing in the choir. Some people help by being on teams where they have special abilities, like they understand about math and numbers and things like that. that not everybody can do. And God calls them all to be people, ministers together here at Greystone. So I want you to start looking for ways maybe that God calls you. Maybe he'll give you an idea to do something nice for somebody or to invite a friend to Sunday school. Because all of us here are ministers called by God. Let's pray for a minute, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank that you have brought us together to serve you and that you call us to be Christians together and to minister to the world around us. In your name, amen.
Join us in standing, professing our foundation in Christ alone. Let's sing this hymn together. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, all in all, here in the love of Christ. Christ alone.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. Sing it out.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to vital breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no human plan can ever part me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
No power. No power of
Now we pray. Dear God, please bless the gifts received today so that we may go out into the world and do your work to the best of our ability. Lead us in the right direction so that we may carry out your will. In your holy name, amen.
Where are you now when darkness seems to win? Where are you now when the world is crumbling? Oh, I hear you say, I hear you say, look up, child. Hey, look up, child.
Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my father promised, so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God.
May God add understanding to the reading of the lesson.
It seems fitting that on this graduate Sunday we begin with that oh so ever popular question that I'm sure these graduates have heard even more recently. What do you want to do when you grow up? Hope you have your answers ready. It's exam time. This is not just a question that we ask the children or the graduates. It's for anyone, whatever age, whatever stage of life, whether you're working or retired. What do you want to do when you grow up? Sure, I understand answers will probably vary. I imagine if we would have asked during the children's message today, we would have heard all kinds of exciting job possibilities from our children. Astronaut, scientist, president, who knows what they might have come up with. I admit that when I was a child, I was no different. I even remember at some point in school doing an assignment where I wrote about my own future, predicting that I would be a two-sport professional athlete playing in both the NBA and the NFL. What do you want to do when you grow up? This was even a topic of our youth group discussions on Sunday nights this past fall, where many of you in the congregation came and shared with the students about your careers, but also what you did in your personal lives as adults after college. This also serves as my plug to ask the students, be they the graduates or others, what it is that they want to do when they grow up, because you will be impressed at their answers. We have many who are interested in education, medicine, or even law. But that question, what do you want to do when you grow up, it sticks with us. And it seems to be connected to this idea of what are we going to do to take care of ourselves? What are we going to do for a living? What kind of job will we have? Or as parents might say, what are you going to do for money? How are you going to take care of yourself? And of course, it seems that the most ambitious students feel the pressure to have answers that go along with jobs that might earn them the most money. I heard from multiple people about the article in the news and Observer this week. I'm sure many of you might have seen it as well. It was brought up by a local youth minister, and it discussed even the toxic environments that exist in local high schools in the area. The article named social pressures that went along with students having to deal with other students being given brand new cars or being taken on expensive and exotic vacations. For me, the most alarming truth of the article seemed to be the connection that existed between happiness and money. So I imagine I imagine that if I were to go to many of the students that are feeling the social pressures named in that article, that if I were to go to them and ask them that same question we're asking ourselves this morning, what do you want to do when you grow up? I imagine that many of these high school students would be quickly prepared to respond with something that might earn them the kind of money that might allow them to purchase these new cars and continue taking their families on exotic vacations. Now, I want to make myself very clear. I'm not saying that working hard, having well-paying jobs, successful careers, even providing for your family, I'm not saying that any of those things are bad, that any of those things are negative. But that being said, I do want us to consider the question of what do you want to do when you grow up with some new imagination this morning. You see, even I realized at some point that I would have to grow out of those ambitions of being a star two-sport professional athlete. It didn't take too many seasons at the YMCA of sitting on the bench more than I played to be quickly informed that professional athletics was not in my future. And of course, the logical choice after that is ministry, right? Pretty much couldn't be more opposite, I don't think. Anyway, for me, it wasn't that simple. It wasn't that straightforward. Sure, I was really involved with my church and our youth group when I was in high school. I was there pretty much whenever the doors were opened. I was often giving rides to friends in the youth group, either to church or on the way home, so they could also participate in whatever it was we had going on. I often was speaking up, taking opportunities to teach and share my perspective with the other youth, regardless of how accurate my interpretation of the Bible actually was. And I remember lots of times, especially on our mission trips during the summer or each year at University Youth Camp, where I would sit and say, maybe I too am called. Maybe this ministry idea might be for me. I mean, after all, why not? You get to go skiing in the winter. You get to go whitewater rafting in the summer. You work at most 2 days a week, if that, right? But it wasn't that simple. The idea of call was so intimidating to me. How did I know that I was really called to ministry? How did I know that that's what I was supposed to be doing? Did I really want to commit to that for the rest of my working days? Because for me, especially in those years, saying yes to a call to ministry was saying yes to what I would be doing for the next 50 years of my life. So these were questions I continued to ask as I graduated from college and began a full-time job in business. I found myself actively involved in the local church I was attending in Richmond. And it was then that I began engaging with several conversation partners, helping me to try to understand if I really felt called to ministry. Luckily, one of those partners at the time was serving as the pastor of our home church in South Carolina. And I remember one of the conversations he and I had about really feeling like if I was called to this ministry thing. And I remember during the conversation that this pastor looked at me and said, "Alan, you know, it might be that God is calling you to leave your job and enter seminary and study and get that degree after 3 years. And it might be that after that you graduate and you feel called to go serve a church for a few years in some ministerial position. And it might be that after that you feel called away from serving that church and back into some sort of business job, either the one you used to had or another one. And all of that is okay." What a relief that was. Those words that afternoon gave me the freedom to leave my job to attend seminary, without the fear that maybe I was misunderstanding God's call in my life, that I was getting something wrong, that I was making some 50-year decision that might be an error. You see, for me, I had to come to the understanding that even if I attended seminary for the sole reason of ending up as just a really, really, really good Sunday school teacher, that was okay. So we continue this week in this series we've called The Language of Faith. And fittingly for our graduates this morning, as we celebrate and recognize them, we are reflecting on this word, calling. And if I could channel the spirit of what that pastor said to me so many years ago, it would be that calling is much broader than what you do for a living. Let me say that again. Calling is much broader than what you do for a living or for a job. The text this morning that you just heard read comes from those final moments that Jesus spent with the disciples. Those moments following the resurrection right before his ascension. And so at this point, Jesus is reminding his closest friends, these disciples, that everything that had been written about him had become fulfilled. That the Messiah, who was to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that the repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all the nations. That idea had been witnessed by each of his followers, each of those disciples. They had seen all these things come to fruition. So I wonder, and I want you to imagine with me, what might have been said had Jesus asked the same question we keep asking this morning, had Jesus asked that question to the disciples in this conversation? What if he ended that? You have been witnesses to these things, and now tell me what it is that you want to do when you grow up. That part's not included in the translation we read, but I wonder how they might respond if it was there. I imagine the disciples looking at Jesus and saying, "We want to go back to fishing," which is what many of them did, right? They just went back to fishing. You see, the truth of the story, the truth of Jesus reminding these disciples of all that they had been witness to, is that regardless of what each of them did for a living, regardless of what they did for a job, they had also been and remained a witness to the life and to the ministry of Jesus. And as such, they were called to share about what they had witnessed to everybody in the world. Last year, it was in the spring when I attended a CBF conference for youth ministers. And at one point, they did one of those fun things people do at work conferences where they have everybody stand up and they proceed to have you remain standing based upon your years of service in your role. And I can't remember all the reasons and what was going through my head, but I can tell you why I responded, or how I responded, I guess, not necessarily why. So they started calling out the years, you know, if you've been doing it 1, 2, 3, and so on and so forth, 5 years, 10 years, so on and so on. And I kept standing. And I had a few friends look at me kind of funny. "What are you doing? Why are you standing up? You're supposed to be sitting down by now. We know, you know my life better than me, I guess." You see, regardless of when I graduated seminary, which for me is about 5 years ago from now, regardless of when someone graduated seminary, you cannot tell me that the years that I spent teaching high school and college Sunday school, the years that I spent leading youth on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, the years that I spent meeting high school students for breakfast on Friday mornings to have Bible study before they went to school, was not ministry. So what do you want to do when you grow up? Because when you think about that question, I want you to start to think about what it might be that God is calling you to do. What is it that fills your soul with energy and with life? It's not a question of how many new cars you purchase or where your next vacation is going to be to. You see, regardless of where you are in life, I want you to listen to the voice of God. And one wonderful resource for thinking about the voice of God and calling in your life is the book, Let Your Life Speak, by Parker Palmer. There's a statement from that book that's listed as the reflection in the guide for this morning. Palmer suggests that paying attention to your own experiences, your own interests, and simply learning more about who you are and what you love to do is the best guide to discover what it is that you can do with your own life. In fact, Palmer goes so far as to remind the readers of a statement by the theologian Friedrich Buechner. Maybe many of you have heard it before. Buechner says that calling is where your deep gladness and the world's deep need come together. Where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need. What incredible words to guide our lives. So what do you want to do when you grow up? I hope that whether you're a child, a graduate, or even if you're retired, I hope that when you grow up, you're willing to listen to God. You're willing to offer yourself, you're willing to be available, and you're willing to say, God, call on me. Help me see where my deep gladness might meet the world's deep need. That's my prayer for each of you, especially the graduates this morning, that you would find connections between your deep gladness and the world's deep need, that you would find happiness, not in the amount of zeros that are coming on your paycheck, but in the way that you respond to God's call in your own life. Because calling is a lot broader than what you do for a living. It's a lot broader than what you have as a job. It is about how you follow God to the places where you find yourself the most fulfilled. For me, I happen to find just as much calling in the relationships that were formed with students who would come over to my house to eat pizza and watch TV, all of which I could afford because of the job I had in business. Relationships that led to transformative conversations where we all learned more about ourselves and learned more about God. For me, I found just as much calling in those relationships as I do sitting in the office down the hall. Because in both of those cases, I was able to say to God, call on me. So we ask this morning, what do you want to do when you grow up? Where the world's deep gladness meets the world's deep need. One of those places is this table. A place where God comes with deep gladness to meet each of us and our deep need. No one says that following our callings, that discovering what it is that God has for us in this world is easy. And so we come to a table that fills us
with the Holy Spirit, so that we might be able to go from this place and to the world to fulfill our own callings. So again, whether you are a child, a graduate, or otherwise this morning, may this be a table where you recognize your own need that God fulfills, but you also receive the strength to go out and share your gifts with a world that is in so need of our love. This is not a Greystone table. This is not a Baptist table. This is the Lord's table. And it is for all those who call Jesus Christ as Lord. For on that faithful night, so many years ago, when Jesus was sitting around the table with his disciples, on the night moments before he was handed over to suffering and to death, looking at his closest friends, he picked up the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body shared with you." And in the same way, he took the cup, and after giving thanks again, he poured it, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant shared with all." And as often as you eat of this bread and as you drink of this cup, do so in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Creator God, you who took the form of flesh and dwelt among us that we might know you and that you might know us, we thank you. We thank you for this table, a place that you offer to us and a place where you meet us even in our deepest need. We ask that you bless this bread and that you bless this juice. May they be reminders of the grace and peace that goes with us as we go out to follow you, to discover our own callings in this world. For it is in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.
take and eat the body of Christ. Take and drink the cup of salvation. The peace of Christ be with you. Please stand and share the peace of Christ with one another.
to each of us in a myriad of ways, and God calls us for different purposes in different moments and different phases along the journey of life. And so as we sing this song together, each of us might consider how God is calling us. Is there a prayer? Is there a specific concern? Is there a next step forward that you would like to share? If so, this is an opportunity for that. If God is calling you to join the church, to be a part of this community at Greystone Baptist, or if God is calling you to commit your life to Christ for the first time, or to re-up and to recommit your life to Christ, this is an opportunity to answer that call and to step forward in faith. And if that is the calling that you are hearing, I will be here to receive you during the song. Sisters and brothers of Greystone Baptist, it's my joy to, you don't need an introduction, but to introduce to you formally Nicole Moorfield, who has decided that now is the time to formalize her membership here, to claim Jesus Christ as Lord and to become a member of Greystone Baptist Church and the body of Christ in the world. So if you rejoice with me in her decision today, would you join me in saying thanks be to God?
Thanks be to God.
As is our custom when we welcome new members, even if they have grown up here, we read our mission statement. And so if you would, turn to the back cover of your worship guides, and we'll remain standing and say together our mission statement. With Christ as the cornerstone, we will build a church of living stones where every member is a minister and is equipped to express God's love by word and deed to all people. Nicole, it is our great joy to welcome you formally into this fellowship, and we look forward to sharing the ritual of baptism soon. So I ask that you all be seated for just a moment as Alan comes forward.
I think I was safe in saying this at our breakfast program today, and I'm looking around to see if I still am. And I think it's fair for me to say that this is by far my favorite class of graduates, once I make sure that no one's here who's going to get mad at me for saying that. They really are a special group. We've spent some time sharing about that this morning. What I find so remarkable about this group of students is their leadership, but particularly in that for each of them, leadership looks very different, but yet it is still very much so leadership. And so I'm very proud of this group and the friendships they have together, the influence they've had with our other students, with our youth group, and even with me, myself. So let me be the first to say that I'm really grateful and excited for each of them. For the next few moments, we're going to have some time to recognize and celebrate them. And so we're going to begin by inviting them each forward. I have a devotional book for them. with a note inside. And great. Very flexible. But I'm going to ask that as you come forward and I hand you a book, that you also remain standing here in front of the lectern, and we'll have a prayer over you in a few minutes as well. And I'm going to call them one by one. So first, Jackson Hollingsworth. Jackson is graduating from the Wake Young Men's Leadership Academy, and he'll be attending University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Olivia Lanham. Olivia is graduating from Sanderson High School, and she'll be attending NC State. Nicole Moorfield. Nicole is also graduating from Sanderson High School and will be attending UNC at Chapel Hill. And Kristen Pickles. Kristen is graduating from Millbrook High School and will be attending East Carolina University. Make sure I have your name in it. I do. Good. Got them in the right order. And if you'd remain standing, we're going to have a prayer of blessing over you.
Let's pray together.
Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for every gift. We give you thanks this day for the gift of education and for these students who have completed this significant milestone in their lives. We give you thanks for them. We give you thanks for their parents and for their mentors who have shaped them day after day. More than the education that they have received and this moment in their life, more than all that they are completing in this moment, God, we ask for your wisdom and for your discernment as opportunities arise and decisions about the future need to be made. God, we ask for your protection and guidance as new paths are forged and new freedoms are explored. We ask for courage. Courage for each of these beloved children to be fully who they are. We ask for courage when they make difficult decisions. We ask for courage so that they might live the love that they have learned from you as you have formed them and shaped them into your disciples. God, for parents and mentors and friends who are releasing these beloved children out into the world, we ask for peace of mind. For we are sending a little piece of ourselves with them along the way. As they step forward, they will grow more fully into the people that you have created and called them to be, and we ask that you walk with them every step of the way. Most of all, good and gracious God, we ask for your compassion and your joy to fill their lives and to sustain them from this moment on. May each moment be full of hope as these students join us all in the work of bringing your love and your peace and your joy into the world. Envelop them with your love, infuse them with your peace, embolden them with your joy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Like the disciples that we read about this morning, each of you has been witness to the life and ministry of Jesus through your involvement in this church, this community of faith. And so we look forward to seeing how each of you follows your own individual calling on your lives as you go off to school and to what will come beyond. You may be seated. And at this time, we're going to have our slideshow.
Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, Mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Precious blood. Oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothed then in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Well,
again, thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Thank you for being a part of this blessing for these students. Just a couple of announcements before we leave this morning. Remember that starting next week, there will be a sermon talkback session at noon each Sunday in the fellowship hall. There are also opportunities for food, especially next week, knowing that it is typically a second Sunday where we would fellowship together with lunch across the street. Next week, that will all be at the sermon and talk back, if that's something you're interested in. Again, that starts next week, so I refuse to take any questions today, but if you have any questions, you can ask those next week. You just won't get good answers about today's sermon because I'm not answering the questions. Also know that there are so many things going on in the life of this church throughout the summer. There's music camp, there's VBS, there are plenty of ways to continue to be connected and to continue to teach students about Jesus the Christ, just as we have four who have been recipients of that teaching over these several years. And so, as kind of a final announcement, just as we read in the scripture today that Jesus' final words were to bless the disciples before his ascension, we hope this service has been a blessing to these graduates. And the final thing we want to do as we bless them is I'm going to invite them to stand, and we're going to exit out as we stand to sing this song, Go in Peace, and we hope that these words will wash over them as they exit. And so they will be out in the hallway if you'd like to say words of congratulations, words of sending to them, or words of welcome if any of them happen to be new members that may or may not have joined the church this morning. We're proud of all of them, and I hope that you will take a moment to greet them on your way out this morning as we're standing in the hallway. So let us sing together.
Oh,
Go in peace, live in grace, trust in the arms that will hold you. Go in peace, live in grace, trust God's love. Go in peace and live out your calling.